Okay, there's was no action to report taken in the closed session, and we have an introduction today. Our student representative to the Board of Trustees is from Marysville High School. Okay, and I can't read your name from here.
I'm Maddie Baker. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And do you have anything to report today?
Yes, I do. So I have Lyndhurst High School's report, and they hosted a freshman orientation the week that school was starting. The freshman orientation was held on August 10th, which Leadership Club had planned and hosted. The event included giving out schedules, receiving textbooks, games, and food. The freshman class left feeling welcome and excited for the upcoming school year, and on the first day of school, the LHS Leadership Club planned a back-to-school dance on Friday the 14th. It was held in the quad from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. The goal of the dance was to encourage students to become more comfortable with fellow peers in the new school year. On August 19th, LHS held an event where parents could have coffee with the principal, and the event was meant for parents to meet and discuss with the principal. And then on August 26th, the school is holding a parent involvement night in the cafeteria at 6 p.m., and their football team will be playing their first home game at River Valley. The following week, August 31st through the September 4th, marks the beginning of the Blazers soccer and volleyball season. And then our report, August 12th through the 14th, we had our welcome week, which is where we decorate the school with balloons and posters and streamers and just lots of decorations to make our freshmen and our new students feel welcome. And then August 14th, we had our first rally, which was the first time we've had it during the first week of school, and it turned out really good. Everyone was really excited for it, and our leadership class received a lot of positive feedback. And then in our rally, we had our wampum card skit, and our wampum card is what we give out to kids when they do something nice, and then we have a drawing and they receive a prize. And they had a demonstration of the PBIS video, and then we showed the video to our kids. And then we had our very first MHS Olympics, and it was all classes that competed in staff, which was really fun. We were trying to do that every year until, you know, something makes us not be able to. And then August 20th, the classes took the yearbook and ID photos, and then all the sports took their photos out in the football field. And then tomorrow we are having our back-to-school night, and it's from 5 to 6:30. On August 27th, freshman football will be having their first home game against Las Plumas, and that'll be at 6 p.m. And then August 28th, JV and varsity will be having their first football home game against Las Plumas, and JV's will be at 5:30, and varsity's will be at 7:30. And then we have our first dance on Friday, and the theme is Hit the Ground Running. And it's so we're off the, like, we start our school year off to a good start. So we're hitting the ground running. So that's exciting. And then it's MHS students only, and it's located in our quad area, and it'll be from 9 to 12 p.m. That's it.
Thank you, Maddie. Did you say back to school night?
Yeah, back to school night.
Is
5:30 to 6:30.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, yes.
Okay. That brings us to comments from board members. Mr. Broom? Okay, Mr. Rasmussen?
No comments.
Mr. Fleury?
No comment.
Wow. Mr. Harris?
I'll break it. I just hope everybody's having a good year, a good start to the year. That would be my comment.
A lot of blue shirts out there.
That's always
okay.
Scary.
Mr. Danimal. Mr. Crawford.
Great back to school, except with the usual air conditioning or whatever. But everybody seemed to be happy, on time. Buses were rolling. And Scott, things looking good.
And, of course, the refrigeration units at Lyndhurst are a really, really big concern now for our district. I feel sorry for the teachers that are going through the heat there. It's amazing that the state of California requires that we have heat, but not cooling. Okay, and but I sure we've discussed it so much that the district is getting on it, and we're going to do some great things to alleviate those problems coming up. I have opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Excuse me. I have a public comment card. Alicia Tyndall.
That's after.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
You were right.
You're going for it. You're right.
Okay. Okay, we're back. I was right at the beginning. Okay. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
Did you say opportunity to impress the board?
That would be good.
I'm going to have to dance. I'm impressed with Lisa. She helped me out when I got here today because somebody stole my table that I usually use. And Lisa got me a table in the back of the room. Thank you very much, Lisa. I know that everybody knows about Lyndhurst and the temperatures there. I believe it was the first letter that went out from Dr. Todd's office about hoping that those coolers were going to keep the temperatures in the 70s, mid to high 70s. It's not working. And I wanted to make sure that the board is fully aware of the impact. I do appreciate the effort that's gone in to working on it. I understand the plan for the long term. For the immediate term, however, we have problems. We have teachers who have gone to urgent care because of heat exhaustion. We have students who have had health issues. I'm sure you're aware of those things too. What I don't understand is how, with it being a health and safety issue the way it is, and the temperatures that we're having another 100-degree day, I understand, Thursday, you know, if those people are right, and they're hurting. The noise is so loud because of those fans, and then the additional fans to keep, you know, the fans at the big doors, you know, the big exhaust fans. Those are bad. And then when you're in the room itself, they have more fans to try to get the cool air from the cooling unit to anybody. And they're losing their voices. They're exhausted. They're not having their home life. It's difficult for them to prepare for class. One of the solutions has been jump from one room to the other, because this person's on prep, so go use their room. It sort of adds to the exhaustion level. And what keeps coming to my mind is, if that building flooded, the roof collapsed, it burned down, some catastrophic, everybody is in agreement, you cannot be in that building for safety reasons, what would the district do? You must have a plan. There must be a plan in the district. I mean, with all the safety plans, everything the district has to do, it seems like that would be something you would have to have. I mean, when Arboga flooded, there must have been a plan that got those students to be able to still have class. I'm getting emails and texts into the middle of the night. People want something now, and I think that your maintenance person, Travis, love that guy. He's seems to really be on it, and unfortunately, he wasn't here years ago. And unfortunately, we had somebody in charge of the purse strings that thought that having $11 million in the bank was more important than fixing things that were broken a long time ago. This didn't break today. So with all that unfortunate and all the planning that's coming, which everybody I think can agree on, right now, today, we had teachers and students in an unsafe, unhealthy environment. Tomorrow, they're going to be in there again. The next day, they're going to be in there again. And I feel like at this point, it's a site administrator's job to put those people in a different location, to figure out a way to get them out of that building, and that site administrator will need support from the district on how to do that. And for the sake of the teachers and the students that are having to live in that, I hope you guys will speed that process up. Thank you.
Okay, operating engineers, local number 3. California State Employees Association, 326 and 648. Okay, Association of Management and Confidential Employees, Supervisory Unit. And that brings us to public comments. We have one public comment, Alicia Tendall, former Marysville High School graduate.
You mentioned the C building situation. We're really aware of it. It was bad when the school was made. You shouldn't make a second floor without windows and all glass. Upstairs is a nightmare on a good day. I would concur with you, at least with the second floor teachers, they should be putting portables. Those kids shouldn't be up there past noon on a 100-degree day. It's not something we're overlooking. I'm hearing from the same teachers and parents you are. We're not ignoring it. I can remember after Eric Houston, we actually taught for a month in tents.
Thank you,
Bill Air Force Base. Might sound funny, but try a 100-degree day in a tent, right, Randy?
Thank you very much.
And no picnic. So we're looking at it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Alicia?
Hi, everyone, members of the board, Dr. Todd and Mr. Carrion. The teachers and staff of Covalette Elementary are a group of caring and passionate people who love what we do. We realize that part of the numerous dimensions of our job is to be the advocates for the children we teach and sometimes even for their families. Often they do not have the information required to even know that their children might be receiving a disservice. It is with this mindset that we have come together to speak up about the recent unsettling circumstances that have occurred with our children and their families at the beginning of this new school year. Our hope is that we can prevent this same situation from happening next year and beyond. Simply put, we have a very large population of students that we are entrusted to educate. However, the physical space that we have to accommodate them is lacking. If we want students to be readers, students need a library. If we want them to be technologically prepared for their digital and global futures, they need a functioning computer lab. If we want them to be healthy, well-rounded children to grow into healthy, well-rounded adults, they need music and PE and a room to accommodate them. If we want to help support our students and their families, then students need an after-school program and room where they can continue to be cared for beyond school hours. And of course we want these things. Many of us bring our own children here because we know these needs of our children will be met. And we know you want these things also because we see you at our school, reading at our Read Across America. We've seen you at our Back to School Bash, our Christmas Stroll, our Open House, and many other school functions. We know you've financially supported the push toward more technology. We know you've hired music and PE teachers this year. We know that you've approved thousands of dollars that have been spent on the STARS program. All helpful. We are bringing these particular items up, though, because as we looked at what to do about these 10, which are now 11, extra students that we had this year in the upper grades, we were faced with the possible loss of one or more of these programs that are incredibly important to student achievement. We've been told that we could dismantle our $70,000 computer lab because it's technically a portable classroom. But it's our understanding that all, I guess with the exception now of Browns Valley, elementary schools in our district have computer labs, so that would be a disservice to our students. We've been told that we could displace our STARS, our PE, and our music class because they're technically in a classroom, but thousands of dollars have been spent to make their home functional there. And in years past, Mr. Eshman at some point was even told that our library was technically a classroom, so we don't want to assume that our library should be dismantled. At Kovla, we truly feel that we are already making carriages out of pumpkins and ball gowns out of rags with the physical structures of our campus. We watched a sign hang in front of our school for years that thanked our voters for the bond money that would provide a drive-through bus zone, an updated administration building, and a two-story classroom building that would be coming in 2009. All we saw before the sign was removed was a small green cage-like structure in front of our office to protect some piece of equipment on the ground. And then we thought about it, and we also got some sprinklers. All the while, though, we watched two-story buildings going up at many schools in MJUSD. We see their nice, roomy main offices, then go back to Kovalod and bump into each other, students and parents, multiple times a day as we try to enter or squeeze around our small office. We are happy for these other schools, but feel slighted when we attend professional developments in their state-of-the-art new labs and buildings, while one of our portables has been struggling to get a leak fix that has been dripping for going on 3 years now. Johnson Park, for example, as we understand it, got a brand new building and has several empty portables that we believe are newer and nicer than ours. We have watched other schools get new bus driveways. Some have recently said that we got a fence, but we feel we only got that fence because we had passionate teachers and parents who fought for it for the safety of our students at a city council meeting. There are citizens at our boundaries who voted for this bond, paid for this bond, and whose children have received nothing that was advertised. It is hard to see the equitability in these situations. Our academic achievement record and test scores are high enough, so maybe other issues we have at Kovalod get overlooked when taking into consideration the needs of the entire district, as was evidenced by the issues at Lyndhurst. We recognize that, and so we are problem solvers. We take what we have and we make it work, and if it doesn't work, we try to find a way to fix it. We write letters, we attend meetings, we raise money, we find labor, and we make it work. We raised money in 2006 for our first computer lab with the help of the county and the Kiwanis Club. We advocated for stop signs around our campus in 2013. We're currently working with our parent club in the community on raising thousands of dollars for a shade structure for our lower grade children who literally have no shade now and play outside where thermometers have been maxing out readings of 140 degrees on the blacktop. We are the ones advocating for these safety things for our children. So when we sat down as a staff last week and discussed this current problem of what to do with the overage of students, we vented to each other. We decided to write this letter. We decided to talk to board members. We decided to speak at a board meeting. We decided to get parents on board. We discussed raising public awareness of the situation. But ultimately, we decided to focus on what we can do for our children. What we can do, not only for these 11 children and their families this year, but for our third and fourth grade families who will be facing this problem in 2016-17, for the second and third grade families that will be facing this problem in 17-18, and so on. These students go from 4 second grade teachers to 3 third grade teachers to 2 fourth grade teachers. And the numbers don't make sense. We want these children, and their families want their children with us. The kids were unaware of this issue last Monday. Then they were crying in class and violently acting out on Tuesday, thinking they were spending their last days at Kovalod. I'm sorry. On Wednesday came the awareness that they would remain at Kovalod, but they would have a different teacher at some point. The whole procedure was very unsettling and disruptive for our students and their families. The travesty here, in our opinion, is that all of this could have been avoided. The student numbers were high last year, and a fully credentialed teacher should have been hired, keeping the class size to a reasonable number. 39 is not a reasonable number, and 38 is not a reasonable number, and 35 isn't even a reasonable number when it could have been prevented. The numbers are there for 16-17, 17-18, and 18-19. So our solution, we are asking for a teaching position to be created whose existence at our school will not be questionable for the upcoming years. That teacher and those students need a classroom. We're asking you to provide us with a portable as an option, as we're trying to solve this problem. Portables are being dismantled at multiple schools, and we're asking for one of them to possibly be brought to Kovalod, knowing that the two-story building, the administrative building, and the bus driveway that were all considered with the bond money are no longer financially feasible, we feel this is a fair compromise. And we feel our children and our families deserve that. With utmost respect, thank you.
Thank you, Alicia. Okay, the board is, can't comment on non-agendized items, but we're very concerned too. Superintendent's report.
Thank you very much. Today, another letter went out trying to keep folks apprised of what's going on at Lyndhurst. And if you've not seen the letter, it did go out via email. I have hard copies here for the board. And we are continuing to monitor the situation and continue to look for solutions. Having said that, it's not an easy fix, and it's not something that's going to happen quickly. So we have been working with the site administration, and they've been moving teachers at their request to different rooms should they choose to do so, and all those requests have been honored up until this point. There are still a couple of classrooms that could accommodate teachers should they choose to do so. They currently are being used for dance class and several other PE-related classes that are held in those rooms, but certainly could be made available and would be if teachers were to ask to be moved. I've been out at the site, I believe, four times, walking classes, both in the morning and the afternoon. The airflow is good. It's not cold air, but certainly it is, the days that I've been there, it's been fairly tolerable. We've been bringing out bottled water. We've, I think, delivered now two huge pallets of water, and we continue to bring water that's readily available for students, especially in, primarily in Building C. And so it is something that we are all working very quickly to try to resolve. It's, as I said earlier, not a quick fix. It is something that takes time with the architects designing it, with structural engineers who have to look at, you know, the rooftop that the air conditioning units were going to have to go on top of. It's a very long process, and we are going to not wait until next summer, as we had originally thought of this summer when we, you know, recognized there was an issue. We're going to move forward with it now. We'll start with Building C, and the plan is fairly clearly laid out, I hope, in the latest letter to the staff and the greater Marysville Joint Unified School District community. On a happier note for Lyndhurst High School, we have the Air Force ROTC site visit scheduled, and it will be happening on September 14th. I made mention of it last meeting, and I do have for each board member a small little packet of invitations. If you would be so kind as to delivering these to key players in our community, this is a meeting to show the support of not only the staff, the students, and the community for reinstating this program at Lyndhurst. It's also trying to bring awareness that we want it back, and we want it back really, really bad. I did give a stack of these to Mary Jane Griego, who is the president of the board for the Board of Supervisors. I also delivered a stack to Bill Simmons for the City Council, and so I'm hoping that with some of their connections with some of the retired military that are in our area, that we can put together a nice group that can help rally the support from all areas within our district to bring that program back. So we're very excited about it. I do have one more handout for you. This Friday, I will be attending the annual Yuba Sutter Chamber of Commerce breakfast, which features all of the educational superintendents, as it were, in our county, in Yuba County and Sutter County. And so this is the handout that I will be giving them. And you will also notice on the back, I do have another invitation there so they can also talk to friends and family and anyone who might be willing to come out and show support for the Lyndhurst ROTC program. It's just a snapshot of our district talking about student enrollment and some of the things you see when I submit to you my annual superintendent's report. But I think the nice thing on the back this time is I've put in there the local control funding formula, the dollars we've been receiving, and the items that we have brought forward to date. So it's a nice, concise view of all of the wonderful things that this funding is allowing us to bring back to our district. And I believe that is it for me this evening. Thank you.
Okay.
Question. Maybe as the maintenance department, had the opportunity to maybe look into the rental company for an industrial size air conditioning unit that maybe could accommodate C building? We had that conversation. I don't know if they were going to look into it just to get an idea of it's the feasibility of it, the cost of it. Is it not a good idea at all? Yeah. But I think that might be another good plan.
I think the initial,
just so we could see, is that really an option?
I believe it has been looked into. It was compared to a jet plane for noise level being right outside the building. So I think that was a major deterrent to bringing that forward, but certainly I can ask Travis Barnett to take a look into that a little further and see.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on to approval of minutes. If there are no changes, deletions, or additions to the minutes, the board will entertain a motion for the meeting of 8/11/15.
I'll make the motion.
Mr. Dennell moves to accept the minutes as written. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Rasmussen seconds. Okay. All those in favor of the minutes, please raise your hand. Okay. Abstentions? Okay. So it's a 5-2. And
the two abstentions were?
Mr. Fleury and Mr. Boom. And that's because, Madeline, for your information, if they're not present at the meeting, they can't vote to approve the minutes. Okay. And that brings us to the consent agenda. Would anybody like anything pulled from the consent agenda?
I'll be abstaining on number four, third individual on that. Classified reemployment. I'll let you know that now.
So you're asking for that item number three under personnel services?
I'm going to abstain. I don't know if it's proper to bring that up now. Or
item number three or four?
That is number four.
Sorry.
Third person down.
Okay.
So you will need to pull that item so he can vote on all the rest of the items.
So we're going to pull the item four under personnel services. Okay. Any others?
Yes. I would like, under Facilities and Energy Management Department, I would like to pull number two, change order number two, for Foothill School Wastewater System Project.
Number two. Okay. Okay, that's number two, change order number two for Foothill School. Okay. So those, with the exception of those two items, is there a motion for approval of the consent agenda?
So,
Mr. Harris moves to approve.
Second.
Mr. Danable seconds the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, going back to personnel services. Okay.
Number four.
Okay. Mr. Crawford?
I'll make a motion.
Okay. It's been moved. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Danwell. Okay. All those in favor of approving personnel services four, raise your hands.
Aye.
And six, abstentions. One, Mr. Crawford.
Thank you.
Okay, and that brings us to item two on facilities and energy management. Okay, Mr. Rasmussen.
So the question I actually have is, earlier it seems like when we talked about this item, it was because of a wireless signal. We didn't have wireless, and it couldn't talk to each other. But it looks as though in the third paragraph down, it says the reason that we had to do this change order is because the servers get shut off during the evening hours. So it seems to me if it's just that the servers are getting shut off in the evening hours, maybe we could leave them on. Is it because of the servers or because we have wireless connection issues?
Good evening. To answer that question, I'll try to be as simple as I can. It's a combination, basically. When you're in the foothills, the service is spotty. And while we're trying to, as a district, to go wireless as a 21st century technology piece, at Covalot and for this particular piece of equipment and the monitoring 24/7, 365, and the need to access it should it go into alarm mode, having it hardwired is the preferred method after all. So it's kind of a combination. The wireless is spotty. It does get shut down, and we want the need for consistent 24/7, 365 access.
So are you saying during the day that our servers go down?
I've been told the service there is spotty. Now, being new, I don't know more about that, but having it hardwired means that it's absolutely reliable, unless we have a power outage, of course. But our vendor is in Chico, should have access to it via the internet now that we have it hardwired and connected, so that they can monitor it if it does go into alarm. It could go into alarm at any point in time. Without the hardwired and the access 24/7, 365, we wouldn't know it went into alarm.
So again, it's not a problem with our server that's there at the school.
It's the internet. It's the reliability.
Right.
Wireless internet. Yeah, that's okay. The problem.
The server works all the time.
Yeah, it's the wireless internet.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I'd like to make a motion to approve number two, the change order number two for the Foothills School Wastewater System Project.
Okay. There's a motion on the floor. Mr. Danable, seconds. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Any nays?
No.
Okay. That brings us to new business. Resolution 2015-16-04, excuse board members' attendance at meeting of the Board of Trustees. And this is for the 8-11 meeting. Item one, is there a... it's been moved to approve by Mr. Harris. Mr. Danable seconds the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And that's five, okay, because abstentions are two, right?
One abstention is for Mr. Boom's absence only.
Well, two members were absent at that
meeting.
But
there are two separate motions.
Oh, there's two separate motions.
I have a nay on that.
Okay, so it's actually a
5-1. 5-1.
With one abstention.
And Mr. Rasmussen was the no. Okay. And then number two, resolution 2015-16-05, excuse board members' attendance at the meeting of the Board of Trustees. Okay. Any discussion? Okay. Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Okay. Mr. Danable moves to approve.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Mr. Crawford. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Abstentions? Mr. Fleury? Okay.
No.
And one nay. Okay, Mr. Rasmussen. Well, unfortunately, we've come to the end of the meeting.